And I guess let's start, Paul, with Adam Lowry, big, strong centerman who this year, though, has definitely added a lot more offense to his game, at least in point production. Is he better offensively, or is he just getting rewarded, you know, and I don't know, getting more pucks going in the net? What's the big uptick for his offensive production this season?
Well, first off, thanks for having me on. And no, that's a great observation. I think that when you look at the uptick in offense for Adam Lowry this year, you look at the entire line, and that's Andrew Kopp and Mason Appleton that have played with him. And this is a third line that was, for a long time, really relegated to a checking role that has gotten comfortable in that environment and now started to expand their games. And as a result, they are pretty good at pushing the puck north. And not only do they not spend a lot of time in their own zone, but now they're spending a lot more time in the offensive zone just because of the way they used to play in their own zone to get possession of the puck. So from that standpoint, you spend more time in the offensive zone, you're going to get more opportunities to put the puck toward the offensive net, and thereby the points are going to go up as well. Andrew Kopp has really found his stride offensively this year. He's in a situation where he's on a career pace for points. And same with Mason Appleton. So I think that not only is Lowry kind of certainly marching to a different offensive tune this year, but it's because of the guys around him. So there's a bit of a symbiotic relationship there with those three guys. But this is a great signing, Jason, because this guy is part of the heart and soul and the foundation of the Winnipeg Jets. And I know to a lesser degree Edmonton has the same sort of issue, but it's hard to get guys, free agents, to come to Winnipeg and play. But once they do, they like it. And Adam Lowry has been a Winnipeg Jet since day one, and he'll be a Winnipeg Jet for another handful of years. I think it's a real sweet spot of a deal at $3.25 million for the next five each annum. And he's found a real good fit here as the third-line center. Hard to find third-line centers that are 6'5", that can play, that are tough, that lead your team in hits, that have over 20 points. You know, those guys aren't a dime a dozen. They don't fall off trees. So a good signing today. And not only that, but a real character guy, a real solid guy to be around as well.
Yeah, you know, I will say one thing about the not signing free agents. Edmonton's actually had no problem signing free agents. They just have to overpay for them, and it doesn't pan out. Sakura, Lucic, yeah. And I think when, if you have a winning team, then players want to go there because they feel like, hey, you know what, I don't care as much. There might be the odd American who doesn't want to go there, and that's fine, right? But I think for the most part, once you build a winning tradition,
yeah,
players are going to come because they feel like they can win. And, you know, Edmonton has McDavid and Drysdale now. That obviously helps them. Winnipeg's built a pretty, you know, solid foundation for a few years. You know, Scheifele's really good. They don't have necessarily the McDavid Drysdale, but they're just a rung below them. Were you surprised, though, Paul, that the Jets, because the one team I felt like, I like the Jets team. Like, I really like their top nine forwards. Obviously, they got the reigning Vezina trophy. I just thought they would add more than Ben on the blue line. It almost kind of seems like a little bit of a missed opportunity.
Yeah, that sort of was the sentiment here amongst the masses and the fans that there was a swing and miss there from management. But I don't know, what we don't know, Jason, is what was out there and what was available and what the asking price was. And I think that the Winnipeg Jets are poised to kind of not only be competitive as they were in 17-18 running to the Western Conference Final before losing to Vegas, and then maybe taking a bit of a recoil the last couple of years and then charging back out this year. But they're set up nicely for the next few years. And then you also have to fill your funnel. And I don't know that they were really that interested in giving up a Cole Perfetti or a Dylan Sandberg or a Ville Heinola, who played last night and played pretty well for a guy that hadn't seen any NHL action since January. So, I mean, you know, and then a first-round draft pick. They'd surrendered a few of those the last couple of years to get better at that second-line center spot, and it just didn't pan out. So I don't know if there was a tendency to have a little bit of buyer's remorse and really not go all in, but Kevin Cheveldayoff did say when he addressed the media after Monday's deadline that, boy, they were in on a lot of things. It just didn't pan out, and those players that they were in on never eventually got moved. And I think once some of the dominoes started to fall where David Savard went, and then, of course, Nashville vaulted into a playoff spot, and that took Matthias Ekholm off the market. Then, of course, you were down to what you were trying to fight for with a number of other teams to get better on the blue line. I also think they felt that they had found a bit of a diamond in the rough here in Logan Stanley, who's 6'7", didn't play last night. They put Hainala in instead in that Toronto game. And Jordy Benn will come in, and I think he's a nice fit. I mean, he's got some size. He's physical. He's tough. He's been around. He's the veteran guy. He's the senior guy now on this blue line with 548 games. So that counts for something. Plus, he's got four seasons of postseason experience. So I think that he's going to add something, but you're right. I mean, there was a feeling here amongst the media and certainly the fandom that the Jets didn't do enough. We'll see, I guess. Time will tell. But I know that they do like their defensive core for the most part, but they also got a guy that's a little bit bigger and a little bit more rugged to add as a depth piece. And I think that they feel pretty confident in what they have now going forward.
Jets, Leafs, Oilers, you know, 1, 2, 3, who knows where they're going to finish. You saw the Jets beat the Leafs last night. Now, the Leafs, I wondered if the maybe the bell has tolled a little bit on the Cinderella story of Jack Campbell. Well, reigns to be seen. The health of Anderson is definitely a big one. Auston Matthews not on the lineup last night, so that definitely impacts it. But, man, I look at the Winnipeg Jets, and, you know, their balanced scoring, I just – what would derail the Jets between Toronto and Edmonton? What would be, you know, the reason that they would lose to either one of those teams in a series?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, the one thing I think that might be too obvious not to state, but, I mean, they've been very healthy with the exception of Blake Wheeler on this last road trip and their captain, and they went 4-1 without him on the road. So, I mean, a couple of injuries would probably cripple the Jets, per se, especially in that top six forward, top nine forward core. I mean, last night we saw it, and I guess case in point, you take William Nylander and Auston Matthews out of the lineup last night for Toronto, who like to play that up-tempo, finesse, fast, quick game, and all of a sudden Toronto looked very slow last night with Spezza and Thornton and Simmons. So from that standpoint, if you're going to play that game and it's going to be high speed, the Winnipeg Jets need to stay healthy, which they have been. So that would be one of the things that I would think that could derail their plans right now going in. The other thing is, too, let's not forget about this. The last time they played Edmonton, they did not fare very well, and Edmonton beat them in both games. And I know that was a level of frustration for the Jets. I think of Blake Wheeler after one of the goals that was scored, skating away from the net and banging his stick with a two-hander into the boards and being really upset. And they were pretty mum about how they felt about those two games. It could be the Edmonton Oilers that could derail the Winnipeg Jets, because in terms of matchups, the Winnipeg Jets have matched up very well and exceeded expectations, I think, with everybody in the division, with the exception of the Oilers, who have the winning record over the Jets at 4-2. So these next three games will be very important. It's also been kind of curious to me, too, that nobody around the Winnipeg Jets wants to acknowledge the fact that they're maybe fighting for first place in a battle with the Oilers and with the Leafs. But if you don't have that mental acknowledgement, then certainly I think you're lying to everybody about that, because everybody has designs on first place. Because while it's different, you're not going to have fans in the building, I still kind of like a curler. I want that last rock in the 10th end, and I want that seventh game at home if I can grab it. Certainly by having a better seed over the other two teams. It's going to be a fight to the finish. It's going to be real interesting. The race started last night for me between the Jets and Leafs, and including the Oilers in there as well, with the Jets beating Toronto and then getting within 3 points.
Yeah, well, if you're the Edmonton Oilers and you feel that you can get home ice advantage, you have to win against the Jets tomorrow night, I believe. You just look at, you know, game, because if Edmonton loses tomorrow to Winnipeg, then they would be suddenly, 7 points behind the Jets?
Yep.
And sure, they'd have two games in hand, but 7 points with only, 12 games to go is pretty tough to do. So I think tomorrow is actually a pretty big game for the Oilers. And if you're the Jets and you feel like, hey, maybe we can make it a two-horse race for home ice advantage, it's a pretty big game for them, too. And then I know they face each other again twice the end of the month, so those three games could go a long ways to deciding who's getting home ice in the north. Plus Toronto and Winnipeg, I think they meet what, four more times?
Three more
series. Okay.
Yeah, it was supposed to be next week, but the games have been changed. Now they're going to meet twice, and then they're going to defer one of the games to May. But what's interesting here is, if you're an Edmonton Oilers fan, and I know you're reaching out to thousands of those right now as we speak, yeah, it's a big game tomorrow for both teams, especially for Edmonton to try to close the gap with the games in hand. But the Jets also, and I know they've gotten back home here after playing 17 of the last 22 on the road. They're going to finish the month, with the exception of a April 30th game in Montreal. They're going to finish the month here at home. But six straight games against playoff opponents here, and that includes Edmonton, Toronto, and Montreal. So nothing's going to be easy for the Jets over the next 2 weeks, Craig.
Awesome. Thanks, my man. We really appreciate it. Have yourself a great day, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. Do you ever sleep, by the way? You're here, you're there, you're doing 6 hours on air, you're on Daily Faceoff, you're at press conferences. Holy smokes, man.
Yeah, well, you know what? If it was real work, then I might get tired, but I love it. So it's a lot of fun, but I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.